Greatest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. Apple, the wealthiest company in the world, has scaled back its automated car project. Their products like iPhones, iPads, Macs, Apple Watch. The thing about Apple is they have controlled both the hardware and the software. They make the whole product. And that's why for decades now, Apple, generally speaking, has produced better quality products which are more reliable, fewer bugs, fewer viruses. Whereas, say, Microsoft Windows, I worked for Microsoft in Redmond, Washington back in the 80s. Microsoft's operating system, it runs on computers made by other companies. And so the wild complexity of a hardware platform, the software, the firmware, and then on top of that, the operating system, and then the applications on top of that, it is all so wildly complicated. And so, of course, there's going to be more difficulties with the IBM slash Microsoft slash Dell computer model than with the Apple model. Well, Apple Computer, for a few years now, has been working on automated cars, automobiles, where you don't need a driver. And they've really tried to rethink the whole transportation experience. For example, they even toyed with, instead of using wheels, they try to reinvent the wheel and use a sphere, like a globe. So you'd have four globes where we have four tires. That didn't work. But that's the kind of rethinking and reinventing they were willing to consider. Well, they have reassigned or let go a number of engineers, and they've backed off of the idea of possibly manufacturing the entire car. And they're focusing, like so many other tech companies, including Google, they're focusing on the technology for automated driving. So they would partner with Ford, Chevy, General Motors, Mercedes, whoever. And those companies, of course, are working on their own automated technology. But so Apple's decided to be more focused, probably a rather wise move. During the last year, we've done a few segments on automation coming to the trucking industry. And we've heard from a number of truckers who've been concerned about the take we have on this, that by the year 2020, there will be a major disruption in the trucking industry with automated trucks, autonomous trucks, beginning to take a significant share of the business. So a trucker in Arkansas asked to call into the show. We'll get to Robbie's call in just a moment. But this morning, to prepare, I went down to the local truck stop and asked some of the truckers sitting at a counter if I could talk to them about what's coming with automated trucks. And it's a noisy place, and I just have my cell phone, and truckers are sitting on every side of the counter, and who's chiming in. So if it's hard for you to hear, I'll just give you an overview. The first trucker starts talking about, well, how about flatbed loads? The chains will snap. The straps will break, the load will shift. Every 100 miles, you got to get out of the cab and check the load. And another asks, how about pre-trip inspection? And they complain then about automatic braking. It's a technology they've had for a few years now. And one driver says, hey, my automatic braking, it misinterprets overhead signs. In one instance, there was a truck stopped on the shoulder of the road on a curve, and my software, my braking software, thought it was a truck right in front of me, and it caused me to jackknife on the road. And another driver says, you got to disconnect the system, you know, but then if you do, you lose your cruise control. And another driver said, hey, I just saw my first Tesla car a week ago when I was headed back home. He said, but I'm not worried, but I'm 53 years old. If I were 25 to 40 years old, I'd be a little worried. So let's hear all that.
Just for example, you got a flatbed load, and straps have been known to tear, chains have been known to snap.
How are they going to do a pre-trip inspection?
Yeah, how are they going to do that? Exactly. How are they going to pull over?
Yeah.
So who's going to pull over and resecure the load? Because loads can always shift, especially a flatbed load.
What I think.
Because it happens every 100 miles, right?
So mm-hmm. I've done it. Swift Fuel Automatics, they had a feature. Our automatic braking feature where it can read like a car put out in front of you, it'll automatic stop. That was kind of faulty because they picked up bridges, overhead
signs. They were doing a curve, the guy in the right lane was in front of you. I got that on my truck right now. I was just cruising, had control on, all of a sudden my truck just locked the brakes, and the people behind me, why didn't you hit the brakes? It's automatic.
And see that, you've already got that on.
You can disengage that, but your cruise control won't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And for example, I was with Swift, I was going Phoenix to Garupa Valley. I had two ProMaster vans on my truck. I'm on 10 just cruising. And there was this truck on the shoulder, the four-way zone. So I jumped in the left lane. Now I was coming around that curve. That radar picked up that truck, locked the brakes. I could really catch it. My truck trailer jackknife. Mm-hmm. To the dirt.
And that's what I was about to say, the same thing.
Wow.
It kicked you over.
When did this happen to you?
This happened to me about a year and a half ago.
Need to get rid of it. I mean, what did we use before we got all that technology with the automatic braking over the sensors? Oh, that's right. We used our eyes. How did we make it this far without it?
I think I was in Arizona on the way home last week, and I think I finally saw my first Tesla car. You know, if I was, I'm 53 years old, if I was in that 25 to 40 year old age bracket, I'd be a little worried, yeah.
Be a little worried.
Yeah, he'd be a little worried, and I think that is appropriate. Now, let's go to the phones here at Bob and Yurt Live. Our studio number, our on-air number, 1-800-8-NYART. We don't often take calls because it's such a short format program, just a half hour, 5 days a week. But now and then we do. 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. Robbie in Arkansas, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I just want to say I've been a driver for 16 years. I have over 2 million miles accident-free of commercial driving. And this is a big debate right now as far as automation. A lot of the drivers are saying, no, it can't do this, it can't do that, technology can't, it never will. Hmm. And we need to move on from that because, yes, technology can.
That montage of those quotes at the breakfast counter this morning at our local truck stop, some of the truckers were making those points. They're not going to be able to do the things that we do. So you're saying, let's not talk about can we, because technology probably will be able to do it. So what you'd like to talk about, should we do it?
Correct. And let me quote G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton said on technology, he said technology should be used to aid the artisan, not necessarily to replace the artisan. So I'm not against technology, but automation is a different topic. So we can use all the technology to make the load safer. We can use that to make it safer. The problem is the automation argument, and that's what we need to talk about. Trucking companies think that they're going to save a lot of money by automating the trucks because they think they're going to get rid of the problem in truck driving, which is the truck driver, which is the biggest problem in truck driving, is what companies say. I beg to differ. The biggest problem in truck driving is the government, which I'll move on from to that next.
Wow.
Let's just say that we get rid of all the truck drivers. Well, what do? We replace it with automation. So now instead of a truck driver, you have to pay $45,000, $50,000, $65,000, $75,000, $85,000 a year. Now you have to pay a software company that money. Now what you can do is, if you're not happy with the software, you have this big contract with a handful of software companies.
Mm-hmm.
They have you over a barrel. You're forced to use them. If you don't like the driver, you just fire him. If the driver's not acting right, the driver's not doing right, you just fire him. Well, you can't just fire your software company. You have 20, 30,000 trucks. You can't just redo it all of a sudden. So that's a big process, and now you have to pay these software companies. So what you do is you just move, you move it from one sector of the economy into another sector.
All right, so hey, Robbie, let's talk about that for a moment, because you bring up a good point. On a previous program, I mentioned the automation firm Otto, and they were purchased by Uber back in September. And their business model is to retrofit big rigs to driverless operation. And the price point that they have stated is that it would be about $30,000 per truck to retrofit it so it would drive autonomously. But what a good point you're making. The software, obviously, they'll want continuous software upgrades, and they're going to have software and software maintenance contracts, hardware, firmware, and that all of that will, of course, be extremely expensive, of course.
Very expensive. Now, let's move on to the next thing. And I've heard of Otto, and it sounds very interesting. The next thing is, so now you can, now that you've gotten rid of the driver, and let's say the automation costs you $25,000 a year. Well, okay, the trucking company says, well, now I don't have to pay the driver who is making $80,000. I saved the money. Well, no, you don't, because what happens is the free market, well, the market forces come in, and other companies say, well, now that we're not having to pay this much, we can deliver the load for cheaper.
Right.
So there goes your profit margin right there. It works out great until everybody automates, and then it just drives the freight rates down. You're back to your profit margins that you are now.
Well, and this has been the experience of industry now, for modern industry, for the last couple centuries, where it's the pioneers who take advantage of the latest technology or insights, and they tend to have a short window of time until the rest of the industry catches up with them. And
chasing the bottom line becomes a race to the bottom. So when everybody catches up, you're right back to where you started from. The problem is you have people like Bill Gates now coming out. Okay, well, what are we going to do with all these displaced workers who are displaced from automation? Oh, I know, Bill Gates says, we're going to put an automation tax on everything. So now you have millions of people who've been displaced, and now what do you have these people doing? They're put on welfare from the government. So now what happens is
Robbie, please, I want you to continue that thought. But of course, Bill Gates is a socialist. He's not a Christian. He supports everything perverse and immoral, dismembering unborn children. And so his solutions to the world's problems, many of them are horrific. But the idea of putting truckers on welfare is a nightmare, of course. That would be a catastrophe. But all the things we do with automation, it would be really terrible, I think, to say, you know, using garbage trucks, we put a lot of people out of work. So we're going to go back to horse and carts, and we're going to make people collect the trash that way, because then we have to hire 100 times more people. I mean, every step of automation has shifted workers around in the marketplace. And when people lose jobs to automation, then they have the opportunity to do something else with the rest of their lives. And I think it's a little bit insulting if we were to go to some industry that's been automated for decades and say, well, we're going to have people begin to do those jobs that machines do very well, because it's like a jobs program. It's an employment welfare program. That's all a real bad idea.
I agree. Now, let me move on. So I'm not against this, but it has to be done in the proper order. So, because if you do it in the order we're going now, you're going to displace millions of truck drivers and blue-collar people. You're going to put them on welfare. The government's going to say, we're going to tax the automation. So now you might as well. So the companies, they don't have drivers in there. They've automated everything. But the cost of business is still the same, because they've raised the taxes, because they didn't get rid of the government interference. So my point is that if trucking companies want to make money instantly and want to save a lot of money, what they need to do is focus their efforts away from automation right now in their industry and have a smaller government, and focus their efforts on getting rid of the encroaching government who makes the cost of business with compliance outrageous. Mm. The cost of compliance for major companies is huge. So let's get rid of the cost of compliance. Let's automate government. So let's take the automation technology and move it towards automating the government. So and the people who work in the government sector, they're all smart and educated anyway, so let them go figure out what to
do. Yeah, they can easily get other jobs, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could shrink the government workforce by 50% through automation? I mean, think of all the hours, the millions of hours Americans spend waiting in lines at the motor vehicle departments of all 50 states.
Correct.
So much of that.
If you want instant savings, if you want instant savings, automate the government. So let's get them out of the way first. And then what? Because what the government is going to say is, well, let's automate the private sector and then give all these people welfare. And then what happens? The people in the private sector are forced out of their jobs. Then they go to schools and they get worthless degrees. They get gender studies degrees. They get sociology, criminal justice degrees, psychology, early childhood education. And they all get out and they become bigger socialists. Mm. And then we are in a Keynesian technocracy. And
That does. All those things happen. They're all horrific. Right, so, you know, we live in a weird world, Robbie, where the things that are rational, the things that make sense, it's hard to even consider them because it's not wrong to assume that we're not going to do what's rational. We're not going to do what's moral. We're going to do what's immoral. So,
and if you just look at history, what happens with the uprisings of socialism and communism, the different socialist and communist revolutions that take place, that's how it happens, is when the private sector is put out of work, they all want to go to the government, then the government gets them riled up, then they go after it, then it becomes class warfare, it becomes envy, politics of envy. And so my point is, if companies want to make money and they want to save money, don't automate the private sector, don't automate the artisan, automate the government, get them out of the way. And when the government's out of the way, guess what then I get to do?
Yeah.
Then I can, as a truck driver, I'm a guy by myself, so I want to have one truck to take care of my family. Well, then I buy my own automated truck and put it to work. Hmm. But through automation right now, it'll be so highly regulated, it'll be taxed so highly that I'll have to have many trucks just to I won't be able to invest in it like I would if the government were out of the way.
Yeah,
get the government out of the way first, and then let's audit.
Yeah. So these, I hear the frustration, and a lot of it is born from experience and the reality of our corrupt government, corrupt culture. But one thing I think you're doing is you're trying to solve multiple problems simultaneously, and it's not the case that we'd have to automate jobs in the government first and then wait until after that, then we automate transportation. Of course, you can do both simultaneously. And I love the thought that we should be encouraging automation in the government and shrink the size of government, because many jobs, it's like in the Soviet Union, they used to say that they pretended to work and the government pretended to pay them.
Correct.
Well, you have so many bureaucrats, as in the hundreds of thousands or millions of bureaucrats, that undoubtedly our lives would be better without them, undoubtedly. So that's an issue, a standalone issue that should be addressed. Then transportation. We've looked at the number of large truck-involved crashes in the United States per year. The lethal crashes with the number of people killed per year peaked in the 1970s when we had over 6,400 people killed. Back in 2012, the number of people killed was 3,800. And in 2015, it had gone up to just over 4,000. These are semi-truck involved crashes. In fact, we have about 250,000 of those per year, but a few thousand people end up getting killed. So it's very possible, you wouldn't get it from the truckers that I spoke to this morning, Robbie, but it is very possible that when we switch over to primarily automated trucking, that the number of accidents will decrease, perhaps by somewhere from a third to a half, and just that is going to save thousands of lives.
Well, that may be true, but it may not be true. We can't really speculate that because there's so many other factors involved. Can automation be safer? Yes, it can in a perfect world. The problem is we don't live in a perfect world. So let's say like a plane. Most planes are automated now. Most passenger planes are automated commercial flights.
Yeah.
But they still have the pilot in there in case something goes wrong. So how many times does your computer crash on you? How many times do you call a place for customer service and they say, oh, sorry, our systems are down right now? Well, if you have a truck running down the road and the system goes down on you and there's no driver in there, well, then the truck is just going on its own now. So you still need, I think, someone. If it's just safety that you're after, then you still want a driver in there. Mm. If it's just profits you're after, that's a different topic.
Yeah, and I think it's not. It's a combination of both. It's economics and it's safety. So Budweiser, back in September, they conducted the very first driverless shipment. And this was from Fort Collins in Colorado down to Colorado Springs, so over 100 miles. And the driver was in the passenger seat. So there was no driver in the driver's seat, but he was there in case he had to, you know, shift over and take over. But it was, you know, from all accounts, it was a flawless drive. It's pretty much a straight shot. So it was a good place to try the first delivery. It was the first actual delivery. But from the U.S. Army with their caravans to dozens of trucking firms, they're all aggressively looking in to automation. And I think that it is going to help the trucking companies that are the early adapters make more money in the first 5 to 10 years, because that's just the way it works. The people who take advantage of technology at the point of the spear, they have an advantage, and over time that advantage closes. But during that time of the advantage, there will be a downward pressure on shipping prices. So, yeah, the trucking companies themselves will end up not making as much money as they wanted, but the consumers will be getting products shipped to their local retail stores and gasoline to their gas stations, and it's going to cost less to transport. These trucks, many of them are going to run 20 hours a day, right? A driver, what does the government allow a driver to do in hours per week?
11 hours driving in a day, 14 hours on duty in a day. So so you can drive 11 and unload for 3 hours. But in a week, it's 70 hours without a 34-hour restart. So if you work 70 hours, you have to take 34 hours off, then you can have a fresh 70. Mm. So, but let me address what you just brought up about the merchandise being cheaper.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be, assuming that there's no government there taxing the automation tax all the displaced drivers, all the displaced workers. That's the point I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So you have to first get the government out of the way and save yourself the money that way,
so,
and then you can.
Yes.
Because what they're going to do, they're just going to tax it on. So now you have all these displaced people sitting around being angry. So and then that leads to more and more government control over the sector. We already have a huge Keynesian technocracy, but that would lead us into that may lead us into Plato's Republic.
Hey, Robbie. After in Plato's Republic was horrific, of course, and he advocated killing babies if they're born to a woman too early or too late, and that parents shouldn't know who their own babies are, that the state should raise the children. It was really the Nazis tried to implement some of Plato's ideas. But after the Civil War in the U.S., it's good that the government did not have a massive jobs program. There was enormous displacement, absolutely enormous, and people lost their jobs. Their employers were dead. And Americans in the North and the South went back to work at astoundingly rapid rates. They went to work.
Yes, they went to work without interference and an oppressive government holding them down.
Yes, and if the government had created a welfare system at the time because people felt sorry for the soldiers coming back, many of whom were injured, or almost just as bad, if the government would have started a jobs training program and a jobs placement program, the entire thing becomes a nightmare. Human beings are competent and capable. If the government takes care of justice, do not steal, do not murder, do not kidnap, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. The government takes care of criminal justice and infrastructure like roads and bridges and waterways, and then human beings will find their way to take care of themselves and their families.
Correct. And that's my point. Automation in the trucking industry will work, but it will not work if the government is not automated. You have to get them out of the way.
All right. Well, I want to thank you. Very interesting, very valid observations. Is there anything else, Robbie, that you'd like to point out?
Well, there's a lot of other things we can go into in the safety and the technology side.
I am curious. This is a topic that's caught my attention. I think it's going to affect millions of people by 2020. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on the particulars?
Well, okay, so the particulars are what we were talking about earlier. The first 5 years is where the money will be made by the pioneers who go out and do it. But that's when they're also going to be working out the kinks and getting the bugs out of the system.
Yeah.
Okay, you get rid of the driver, and the company has, and the truck is going down the road. The software fails, wipes out a family. Who do you sue?
Okay, let me ask
right
this.
Now,
let me ask this, yes. Robbie. Will that happen? As we have, let's say we have our first 1,000 automated tractor-trailer trucks on the road. Will a family get wiped out by a truck? Will that happen?
Yes, just like they do now by trucks with drivers.
It will absolutely happen. In fact, one driver of a Tesla car has already been killed with his automated driving operating the vehicle. Now, the warning was as clear as could be from the manufacturer. You could only use this on highways with limited access on ramps and off ramps. He was using it in the wrong setting down a main street, and he got killed. So the media really didn't blame the manufacturers, the automation. They blamed the driver, which I think was appropriate. But it's going to happen where an automated truck is going to kill a family. And quite often we end up passing regulations with every crisis, and they tend to backfire. So
this is going to be a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes.
Right now, families get wiped out every day by trucks with drivers in them. Okay. But when a family gets wiped out by a driverless truck, there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction, and people are going to want to regulate it even more, which raises the cost of doing business, which makes it not as lucrative, not as profitable. So your profit margins are cut again. So when you're getting rid of the driver. But who do you sue without the driver in? Now you sue the company because the driver is ultimately responsible. Mm. But do you sue the software company?
Hey, Robbie, I guarantee a lawyer will do it if he thinks he could succeed. We're out of time, but hey, thanks for a very thoughtful call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, and this is Bob Enyart, KGov.com. May God bless you.